Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. As promised, Jeff Cavins with us this hour. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. Just one of the best things that's happened anywhere in recent years was that whole, success that came with the Bible in a Year podcast with Father Mike Schmitz. Just a blessing everywhere. And our guest, Jeff Cavins, is one of those who brought that to you. And now they've got the Catechism in a Year. And if you've got questions about the Catechism of the Catholic Church, whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome this hour to give us a call, 888-318-7884. In addition to what I just mentioned, Jeff Cavins is the creator of the celebrated Great Adventure Bible Timeline. He hosted EWTN's Life on the Rock for about 6 years. He's got a new project coming up, the Bible Timeline Show on Ascension Presents. Jeff Cavins, thanks very much for being here with us.
Good to be with you, Cy. It's always nice to share good things with you.
Yeah, and this is one of the good things. I just, it's like you're an overnight success after having been a success, but there's nothing that compares to what you all have done with this, the Bible in a Year. It just blew up.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise for everybody, and nobody saw it coming, nor had we ever discussed the possibility of it happening. It just wasn't even on the playing board there.
So what's the role that you played in this development of the Bible in a Year, and then in the new one, the Catechism in a Year?
Sure. Well, the Bible in a Year is Father Mike and I have known each other for almost 20 years. We are good friends. We're both Minnesota boys, and I'm a little older, but we're Minnesota boys, and so we've known each other for a long time, and we've been able to share scripture stories and teach and talk, and we do pilgrimages together to the Holy Land and other places around the world, and we have along with his family for a long, long time. And it was the Bible Timeline study, the Great Adventure, that really turned his life around as far as scripture study and understanding the faith in a greater way. And so he has said that for quite a while, that the Great Adventure really did a number on his heart. And so and the Great Adventure was doing, you know, it was doing very well, and the Great Adventure Bible came out, and there's certainly been this renaissance. There's been this revival of a scripture study, and others have participated as well, Dr. Scott Hahn and others. And so it came about, I believe it was in 2020, that Father was talking about doing a podcast, something similar to he heard already on Apple, of just simply reading through the Bible and reading the Bible a little bit each day and making some comments. And so as that was brought to the table, it seemed like a natural that what we would do is take the Great Adventure, which is in chronological order, and there is a three-month reading program that reads four chapters a day of the 14 narrative books that take you through the entire story. Mm-hmm. And that would take you 3 months to do it. And so it seemed pretty obvious that what we should do is take the entire Great Adventure and spread it out for an entire year, 365 days, and get the whole thing, get the whole story. So that became the first thing. Okay, we're going to stretch it out. We're going to give it to people as a reading that tells the story, and every book will be in its proper place, which led to the next problem, which it does in Bible study, and that is, well, how will they know where they're going, you know, in it? And in comes the Bible timeline chart. And that's the Bible divided up into 12 periods. And then what we decided we'd do is that he would do the daily reading, and then I would come in at the beginning of every one of the major periods, and we would spend an hour or 45 minutes, whatever it was, talking about that next period, mm-hmm. the characters, the narrative, the story, the problems, the new concepts that are introduced, places in the Bible where if you don't get this, my friend, you are totally going to miss out. And there's a couple of them, if you don't get them, those hinge points, mm-hmm. you're going to miss out on all the prophets, for example. So it became a combination of reading through the Bible in chronological order, and then I would be like a camp guide, a trail guide, that would take you through this story so you wouldn't get lost, where we were, where we're at, where we're going, get everybody situated, and then let's move on again. And that was the idea. And so we started the recordings of it in 2020, And by the time January of 2021 rolled around, we were both on to other things. And I forgot about it.
Isn't that funny? I love when you say that. You just forgot. Like, well, it's a, you know, that's another thing. They'll get it out there it'll do its thing.
I'm on to something else, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's right. Oh, I guess we did do that. And then January 1st rolled around and I totally forgot about it and didn't check or anything. You know, I didn't think about it. And then January 2nd, my producer called and said, are you sitting down? And I'm, yeah, why? And she said, you're number one in the country. And I was totally blank. I said, number one what? And she said, podcast. And, you know, it's so funny because at first I forgot about the show. At first I thought, oh, how did my show get to be number one? It was a mystery to me because I was thinking Catholic market, you know. And I said, oh, what show? And she said, Bible in a Year. I said, oh, number one Catholic podcast. That's kind of cool, you know. She said, no. I said, religion? She said, no, everything. It's number one in the country. I said, oh, you got to be kidding. That's what Father Mike said, too. And so I went on Apple and went, oh, wow. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
And nobody ever figured out how it happened, actually, other than it was a move of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so at that point, we were inundated with interview requests and, you know, major media wanted to know what's going on and how much are you guys making and all of that. The answer, nothing.
<You know>? Oh, I'm sure they loved hearing that. Yeah, it's all about how you make the money online. But this was...
Oh, yeah. Well, we had one expert that said, it was an expert in social media, said that these guys have to be making seven figures, easy. And so they asked the question, and they said, how much are you making? Because you're in the top 10. That's big money, you know. And no, we're not making anything. It never dawned on us.
You had forgotten you did it, Jeff.
we joke about it that had we known that the goal would be number one in the country, we would have never done what we did. We would have tried to be funny.
Oh, you know, that's the thing. It's funny because I remember hearing about it because we would get the press releases and stuff that's coming out. And I think we mentioned it. And you started to hear people saying, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm starting January 1st and I'm going to do this. Here and there, people would be saying it. So it does feel like there was this kind of preparatory movement of the Spirit because I think there's millions of people who wanted to read the Bible. They wanted to know the Bible. They just couldn't figure out how to do it or how to get at it. And here's this thing that came along and said, hey, start with us January 1st. In a year, you'll have been all the way through it and you'll learn it. And it just was a fire. It just was an amazing fire.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's anything like it in at least the modern times of that type of influence around the world. At one time we were number one in 28 countries. And it's two guys from Minnesota.
Yeah, right.
Reading the Bible. Every time I say it, I laugh because the biggest thing for us at that point, to be honest with you, Si, was get out of the way.
Yeah,
that was the biggest thing. Get out of the way. So don't stand in the way here. Just let it happen, and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. This is obviously a work of the Holy Spirit. I do think that the timing was incredible, in hindsight, and that was that we were in COVID, you know, and people were searching and people were looking for two things. You know, they were looking for a brighter future and someone to trust, and they weren't finding it in politics. They weren't finding it in Hollywood. They weren't finding it in network news, you know, cable news. They weren't getting it. And so I think people were looking for a change. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And that it really is, that is what happened there. And the results of it have been staggering. The number of stories that we have of people who were going to kill themselves, and they stopped. And the number of people who came back to the church, we had Catholics, Protestants, we had atheists, we had Jewish people, Muslims, we had people from every background who were joining to listen in on the story. And it's the Word of God. And the beautiful thing about the Word of God, you know, kind of shifting gears here, is that God said, if my word will go forth, it will not return void. In other words, there is something different about the word of God. It's different than Shakespeare. It's different than Aldous Huxley, or it's, right. You know, it's different than any other collection of writings, in that God is the author of that book, and there is power in the word of God. And so what we were really handling was a live wire. You know, we were handling a live wire that was going out and doing something in people's lives that there is no possible way we would have even known how to do it, that there needed to be something done, or how to do it, or who to talk to, or whatever. It's like God was taking this fire hydrant hose, and he was blasting it into people's homes and neighborhoods and churches. And so, hands off. Glory to God.
Praise God.
God is the one. God's the one.
Jeff Cavins is our guest. Catechism of the Year is the next effort. Your questions on the catechism are very welcome here. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. So tell me about Catechism in the Year. How do you go about it, and what's it about? What's the process there? Because you had a process for the Bible. You had the timeline that you had created. What's the process with Catechism in a Year?
Well, the process is very similar in that, you know, the Catechism, which we can get into, the Catechism is the faith, and it is divided up into four pillars. And those divisions, those four pillars, actually tell a story. And it really introduces us to the faith. And so the idea was the same. Well, first of all, the idea was, what are we going to do next? You know, and it seemed rather obvious. Well, what about the catechism? You know,
yeah, right.
And why don't we divide it up, and why don't we color code it, and why don't we explain each of the pillars and where we're going, and just happen that way. So. I can't help but laugh, because you have to understand how funny this was to us. It's just funny. But anyway, so you got the catechism, and the catechism complements the Bible so well. In the Bible, you have the story. You have God's amazing story of sheer goodness, and God reveals his heart. He reveals his plan, and he invites us to come into this story. And we did that, and people are like, yep, yay, I'm there. I want to be in it. Great.
Yeah.
I'm in the story now. So what does the catechism mean? Well, the catechism has four pillars. And the first pillar is what we believe. It's the creed. And it's the largest portion of the catechism. So you have the creed number one. That is the story. That's salvation history. That's Bible in a Year. In a tightly wound form. That's what that is. The
right.
Creed is the taking the Bible and squishing it. It's bringing it down to a tightly wound form. And that's the beginning. And Pope Benedict said that it's number one for a reason, because the story comes first, just like Bible in a Year comes first. And then the Bible comes first, because the second pillar, the third pillar, and the fourth pillar all spring from the story. So it's set up so beautifully that people have been soaking themselves in God's story, the plan of salvation history. And so that's the number one pillar. Then the second pillar is how we worship. It is the sacraments and liturgy. It's how we worship. You know, how another way of saying it, Cy, is how do we get into the story? How do we get into the story? How do we worship?
Yes.
And of course, that's the liturgy, and the liturgy, and God brings us together. We meet Jesus in the sacraments. And then you go to the third pillar, and that's how we live. And how do we live? We live the life of Christ. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And so now in this third pillar, I'm living the life of Christ in the context of the church, in the sacraments, in the liturgy. I'm living a new life. And then the fourth pillar is prayer, and that is how we pray. So, and that's both, you know, collectively as a community in our prayer, and then individually as well. And it's kind of sprinkled out throughout all, you know, of the catechism. So it's what we believe, it's how we worship, how we live, how we pray. And those are the four pillars of the catechism, and it's color-coded, and has a few other things in there. You know, it's a little different than the one people are used to. It's the same, but we've added a couple things in there that are really pretty cool.
The number is 888-318-7884. There's a couple lines open if you'd like to talk with Jeff Cavins about the catechism in a year. Whatever your question is about the catechism, it is very welcome here. 888-318-7884. I will remind you again, you don't have to be Catholic to call and ask about the catechism or what's in it or why we value it the way we do. 888-318-7884.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Jeff Cavins, who we're just delighted to have with us. You know him from EWTN Television or from the Bible Timeline, the Great Adventure Bible, from Ascension Presents, from his own podcast. You probably know Jeff Cavins, and now is on to the catechism in a year. And so if you've got questions about the catechism, if you've got questions about this catechism in a year, 888-318-7884. I am going to go to the phones. Before I do, I got to tell you this, because it says it's the final day. So if it's the final day, I got to let you know. There was an extra 20% off. We got our spring sale going on, but there was an extra 20% off all of our spring books. We've got four new spring books. Carlo's The New Relativism. We've got The Heart of the Gospel on the Beatitudes. That's by Father Sebastian Walsh. The wonderful book by Dave Armstrong, The Word Set in Stone, about how archaeology, science, and history back up the Bible. And then When Protestants Argue Like Atheists, that's Trent Horn's new book. All of them have an extra 20% off through today. That's through midnight, Honolulu time. 888-318-7884 is the number here. Oh, if you want that deal, you go to shop.catholic.com. I guess I should say that. shop.catholic.com. Jeff, we got some folks on the line with questions for you. Shall we go to the phones? Is that all right with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's start with Drew in Iowa, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Drew, thank you for your call. Go ahead. Well, go ahead with your question for Jeff.
Hello. Yes, thank you. I'm going through the catechism in a year and have really enjoyed it.
Wonderful.
A recent episode talked about how we come to know Christ through the Holy Spirit, and I'm wondering how we reconcile that with how we also come to know Christ the Son in his true presence in the breaking of the bread and through the sacrament of the Eucharist and adoration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. No, it's a good question. Well, I think that the key, by the way, I'm from Iowa too. I was born in Iowa. So the key to that really is it's not one or the other. We do come to know Christ through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does a number of different things. In the Mass, there is a part of the Mass called the Epiclesis, where the priest is calling down the Holy Spirit with his hands, palms down, calling down upon the Holy Spirit, upon the gifts, and then goes into the prayer. He's basically begging the Holy Spirit to do this miracle where bread becomes the body of Christ and wine becomes the blood of Christ. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. There's a second action to that epiclesis in that we pray for ourselves as the body of Christ, that we would truly be Christ in the world. And so that is an action of the Holy Spirit in the Mass, and there is no better way to get to know Jesus, no greater way than the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith, and it is the greatest source of grace. And so I would say it's not one or the other. There's no reconciling that needs to take place. The Holy Spirit does reveal Christ, and in the Mass, he reveals Christ in the greatest form of presence, which is the true presence, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And the Holy Spirit can make Christ known to us also in the reading of the Word and in a number of different ways. There isn't just one way that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus known.
How's that for you, Drew? Make sense?
That makes sense. That's excellent. Thank you guys so much.
Drew, I'm just kind of curious, and you know, just satisfy my curiosity. You're doing the catechism in a year. Were you among those who did the Bible in a year?
I actually was not. It's on my to-do list next, but you know, why not start with the second edition?
That's so interesting. Yeah, good for you for finding it and doing it. I very much appreciate the call. It's funny because I just assumed that everyone doing the catechism had done the Bible in a year or had, but this is a way to really learn your Catholic faith so that you can share that Catholic faith with others if you do catechism in a year.
Yep. You know that the catechism in a year is such a gift because, you know, some people have, I'll answer the question. Some people have asked us before, well, I went through Bible in a year. Why should I go through catechism in a year? And the answer to that really is, well, okay, you went through the story. You went through the plan. Paul said to the Ephesians, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So I would ask you, how do you do that? And most people go, well, yeah, that's a good question. That
right.
I mean, I just love her, you know. And like, yeah, I get that, but put some meat on the bones there. What do you mean you're going to? What? And then that's where the catechism comes in, and it tells us what marriage is, the role of the husband, the role of the wife, how it's a reflection of Christ's love for the church. It's a stage in which God demonstrates his faithfulness. It is the center of the home where it becomes the school of love. And And so now we've filled it in. And now when Paul says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, we can say with the catechism, I think I know how to do this. This is great.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's wonderful to think of the catechism as kind of a how-to guide, a how to do this Christian life. Yeah. Again, the number is 888-318-7884. Jeff Cavins, our guest, and you should check out the Catechism in a Year. If you put into your computer machine Catechism in a Year, you'll find it. Gary in Delaware is next, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Gary, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Jeff.
Jeff, my question is, with the Catechism, you know how you give up, you sacrifice things for Lent and Advent, and Lent particularly because we're in the Easter season, we just finished Lent. Is there anywhere in the catechism where it explains when you fast and you give up stuff? I know people do on Sundays, they still take what they gave up. I don't do that during Advent or Lent. But when Easter Sunday's right around the corner, a lot of people say, like, after Good Friday, you know, Holy Saturday is as good as Easter Sunday. And I always grew up that Holy Saturday was like, you know, really almost like Good Friday, a blah day. You know, Christ is still in the tomb. You don't do anything special until Easter Sunday. But is there anywhere in the catechism that explains this?
Well, when you talk about fasting in the catechism, it speaks of piety. You know, it speaks of piety. In the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus introduces three forms of piety, and that is, fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. And he mentions fasting there. In the catechism, there are about three major areas. Penance is one of them. And then preparing for the Eucharist is another one. And then there's another entry there on the evangelical law. So you have a small number of times where fasting is actually mentioned per se, but the concept of piety and almsgiving and so forth is mentioned quite a bit. And in the context of fasting, it's certainly in preparation for the Eucharist. That is one that most of us know about. Another is penance. And fasting is used for penance, and the Catechism does talk quite a bit about penance. But then there's another one. Then this one's from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about fasting, which seems to be one of the three major weapons that we've been given. And we can talk about that in just a little bit, but that is fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. We can talk about that.
All right. Well, Jeff can do the breaks. He doesn't need me at all.
I heard that music.
You know what that means. All right. We'll take a very quick break. Lots of folks on the line. Couple lines open if you want to talk to Jeff Cavins. 888-318-7884. Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God, and it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Jeff Cavins, our guest. We're talking about the new undertaking. I can't wait to see what happens next year, but they did Bible in a Year, which was the number one podcast on the planet Earth. That's, bar none, the number one podcast on the planet Earth. Now they're doing the Catechism in a Year. And as I said, I can't wait to see what they take up next year. But if you've got questions about the Catechism, if you've got questions about how to make use of the Catechism, what's in there, why Catholics value it, 888-318-7884. But when we left, it was a bit of a cliffhanger about fasting. You were finishing an answer about what the church teaches about fasting.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that fasting is one of the three forms of piety in the Sermon on the Mount. You have fasting, and you have almsgiving, and you have prayer. And they match up perfectly with what Eve went through in the garden. When she saw the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she noticed that it was beautiful to look at, tasty, and made one wise. Well, those are the three areas that we really got into trouble with, things that are beautiful, the tasty. We've got the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And this is what John, the disciple, he noticed. And at the end of the Bible, in 1 John, he mentions the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of God. They're of this world. And so you have the Bible bookended by these three things. And in the middle with Jesus, you have the three forms of piety. And so you have the lust of the eyes, almsgiving. What do we do if we have the lust of the eyes? We want, we want, we want. We divest ourselves of that. If you're addicted to buying something, we give it away. We divest ourselves. That's how we do battle. And if it's a lust of the flesh, we fast. We go without it and we pray. And prayer is for the pride of life. It's humility. The foundation of prayer is humility. I can't do it, Lord. I need you. And so those three forms of piety come out in Lent, you know, and fasting is, it's a weapon. It's a weapon.
The number is 888-318-7884. Coming back here to California, Virginia is in Corona, California, watching on YouTube. Virginia, go ahead with your question for Jeff Cavins.
I did the Catechism in the Year, and then I've done the Bible Timeline. But prior to that, I had did, Jeff started with the Bible Timeline, and I'm not hearing too much about the Bible Timeline. Is that because of the Catechism in the Year now, and also the Bible Timeline?
No, I mean, what's happening right now is a phenomenon, you know, with the Bible in a year, which is built on the Great Adventure Bible Timeline. That's what that is built on. If you opened up the hood of Bible in a Year, that is the Bible Timeline, the Great Adventure, that's been out for a long, long time. Great Adventure.
He's answering my question.
The Bible Timeline's still out there. It's doing good, and now we're focusing on the Catechism in a Year. And all of this time, there are still lots of people going through the entire Bible by studying it with us at Ascension Press.
Thanks, Virginia. Thanks very much. Will the Bible in a Year just remain available in perpetuity? It doesn't seem like something you would improve upon, but is that the plan? Just let it stay out there and let people do it?
I can't speak for Ascension, but I would think that it's going to remain. It's a second year now, you know, that it's been out there, and we're over half a billion downloads. So that's pretty amazing, you know, to have those types of numbers. We are adding to it in this way. This coming fall, I'll be doing a new show, The Great Adventure Show with Jeff Cavins at Ascension Presents, where I'm bringing in some of the top scholars in the world, and we're going to go through the 12 periods of salvation history with a guest on each one of those periods, and we're going to go deeper into the story, and we're going to tackle tough questions, and we're going to look at how this really fits into my life in terms of practical application. So that'll be this fall. We're looking forward to that. That's at Ascension Presents, and it'll be the Great Adventure Show. It'll be on YouTube and, you know, anywhere that good shows are found.
All right. Very good. Virginia, again, thank you very, very much for the question. We're talking about the Catechism. Jeff and the whole, I don't know how big, I want to say the whole team at Ascension Press, probably the two of you or three of you or something producing this. I don't know. But now doing the Catechism in a year. And you can do it. You don't have to start on day one. Start today. Start tomorrow.
Exactly. That was one of the funny questions that came up when Bible in a Year came out. And it was they would text me or call me or write an email, and they'd say, "Oh, I'm so bummed out. It's like day 132. Is it too late to begin?" No, because you're going to begin.
Right.
You're going to begin with the first one yourself. You're gonna end later, but you're going to begin with the first one, the second one, the third one.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till January 1st. You can start now and start with the very first one and continue on. So it is kind of evergreen and it revolves.
Right. If you've got questions about the Catechism in particular, you're very welcome. 888-318-7884. We go now to Ben in Washington, also listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Ben, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Jeff Cavins.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Ben.
Nice talking to you. I love your guys' show.
Well, thank you. I don't know if you're talking to me or to Jeff, because we both... Well,
to you.
Let's just say all of us.
Let's say both.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, all of us.
All right, I inserted myself in there.
But, yeah, no worries. So I've been... I'm trying to enter the Catholic Church, I guess. I haven't done RCIA or anything, but I've been taking my family to Mass now for a couple months.
Praise God. Wonderful,
anyway,
man.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, up to that point, Well, right before I started going to the Catholic Church, I had bought some catechisms from Goodwill and gave them, let my friends borrow them, who I was trying to explain why I was leaving my Protestant church and joining the Catholic Church, and we had some conversations about it. And one of my friends asked this question when he was reading the catechism about it. It didn't seem to square with him, and it didn't seem as maybe big of a deal to me, but maybe I wasn't quite catching it right. But the question was, so it does seem to affirm in the catechism in some places, that Jesus is the only ladder that you one ascends to heaven, or Jesus is the only name by which we are saved. But then in other places, when it starts to talk about other religions, and I think also in its layout of no salvation outside the church, that it puts forward what that means in a positive case. And it seems to kind of, like, I don't know, loosen up the rules a little bit. Does that make sense?
No. I don't think that the catechism loosens up the rules at all. I think it's very clear that all salvation comes through Christ. And there is the idea that if somebody had never heard of God before, never heard of Jesus, they still will be judged, and they're judged on the knowledge that they have in natural law. And that if a person goes to heaven, it is through the grace of Jesus. It might not have looked exactly like you or me, but God is gracious, God is just, and anybody that gets into heaven will be through the sacrifice of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which men will be saved other than the name of Jesus. And that's what we believe, and that's what we profess, not in a triumphant way, but in one of being servants of the Word, and that this is the message. We have no right to change it. We cannot bend it. We cannot modify it for anybody or any era. You know, I was invited to a college a few years ago, and they were going to have a panel discussion with a Jew, a Muslim, and a Christian. I was the Christian, and it was at a college, and it was packed. And they asked us all kinds of questions about theology and faith, and then they ended up asking the final question, and it was, do you believe that your faith is the fullness and complete faith? That's a big question to ask. And so the Jewish woman said, well, I think that if we all came together, we would see the fullness of it. And then the Muslim lady said, well, this is what I chose and I was born into, and I respect that, and I affirm what we teach and this and that. And then they gave the mic to me, and I looked at the crowd, and I said, they reiterated the question, do you think that your faith is the right faith and it's the fullness? And I looked around at that full campus, and I said, yes. And I said, and I would be willing to die for it. And the lady next to me said, whew, like, that's gutsy. And then I heard in the back room, it started this. And all of a sudden, it grew and grew, and the place had a huge applause. And the person that was running the debate or the talk said, they're not applauding the faith, they're applauding the fact that you believe that. And we do.
And we do indeed. Ben, is that clarifying for you?
Yeah, I think so. I have one more follow-up question, if that's okay.
It sure is okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll be quick. So I guess if it's possible to be saved without knowing Jesus in an exact way, I guess as a Catholic might, what does that do for, I guess my friend might ask, what does that do for evangelization?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's kind of it's like a sister question to what you asked prior. There is no other name that men can be saved by other than the name of Jesus. And if somebody is saved in a way that is not looking exactly like our own story, it is because of Jesus. It is because of the work that he did on the cross. I don't think anyone's going to get around that, because that is how we come to the Father and how sin was paid for, and nothing that is unholy will come into the presence of God. And we are purified, we are saved, we are purified, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And again, if this is the pygmies in Africa that have never even heard the name or the word Bible or anything, if they are with us in heaven, it is because of the work of Jesus and how Jesus ended up doing that. And that's above my pay scale.
Ben, thank you so much. I hope that you will have an opportunity to do the RCIA and be welcomed into the church. I'd like to send you a book if you'd like it. It's called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. Very small little book, but a beautiful encapsulation of the Catholic faith from our own Jimmy Akin. Hang on if you'd like it. I have to take a break. A couple more folks on the line, but probably could get a third on in the next segment. If you have a question for Jeff Cavins, you are very welcome to call 888-318-7884.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN uses the power of radio to reach people whenever and wherever they're searching for answers to questions about their Catholic faith. EWTN Radio is heard on over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates. For a complete list of programs and how to hear EWTN Radio, visit EWTN.com and click radio. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Jeff Cavins is our guest. And so many good things have come to us because of the work that Jeff has done, but maybe nothing quite as astonishing as all the good that came from the Bible in a year. Now, the Catechism in a year. And Jeff, I don't know that I've made clear to people, and I regret that I have not made this clearer, but there's the Catechism in the year, which you can go online and participate in. But you also have the printed version of the Catechism, and it's a special version. And I don't know. I want you to talk a little bit about that before I go back to the phones.
No, thank you. That's kind of you. It is. It's a beautiful white and patina as well. I dropped mine the other day and broke a rib, and it laid in the snow, and I had to rescue it. But the catechism that Ascension put out is color coded, and it is color coded by the four pillars, and then all of the tools in the back are gold, and there's a number. It is just absolutely beautiful. The colors of every one of the pillars. Every pillar has a ribbon that you can use in it. The beginning of every article is incredible. And it also has an entire section in the back where you can find out what all of the great church fathers and all the great leaders throughout history, how they contributed to this catechism. You know what it leads me to share with you, Cy, is that I've had people ask me, why the catechism? Why is that so important? And here's the way I would put it. And I think it speaks for itself. If I said, with Cy, I'm saying, Cy and I at Catholic Answers, we are going to put on an amazing conference next year in California, and we have some guests for our panel discussion. You won't want to miss it. And I say, on our panel discussion is going to be St. Augustine, St. Jerome, Gregory the Great, St. Athanasius, we have Therese of Lisieux, we have Teresa of Calcutta, John Paul II, and we also have with us Padre Pio, and we're going to have this panel discussion. Well, first of all, how many people do you think would be calling into Catholic Answers saying, I need a ticket. I want a ticket. I've got to go and I've got to see this.
Yeah, right.
You couldn't get a stadium big enough to have to take everyone in that would want to be part of the panel discussion. In the catechism, you're getting that panel discussion. You can ask any question you want about the faith, and the panel discussion will answer. And to me, that's a home run right there. There's nothing like this in the world where the saints and the doctors that went before us are literally speaking to us. We're bringing them all from the past, bringing up into the present and saying, talk, we're listening. And they are the ones who are filling out the faith for us. There's just nothing like it.
Again, Jeff Cavins, our guest. Your call, welcome, 888-318-7884. Roger in Shelby, North Carolina, watching on YouTube. You are up next. Roger, go ahead with your question for Jeff.
Yes. Say a person has been baptized, but is unsure that they were truly born again before they were baptized. But then they have had a born-again experience since. Should they be baptized again?
Are you saying that they were baptized and then they had a quote-unquote born-again experience? Should they be baptized after that?
I understand I'm speaking as a Protestant.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's my question, yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I can tell you from the standpoint of the church that the church recognizes baptisms prior to coming into the Catholic Church. They do recognize baptisms. And once you're baptized, it is considered one of the sacraments of initiation, meaning that it is the sacraments that we receive as we are initiated into the body of Christ and initiated into a relationship with Jesus. And so we have baptism, we have the Eucharist, and we have confirmation. Those three, not necessarily in that order, but we have those three. And so you have baptism, which deals with original sin, and also it brings you into the body of Christ in a more meaningful, closer way. And then you also receive theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Now, after that, we receive the second work of the Holy Spirit, this powerful infilling of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, which makes us witnesses, and it completes the graces of baptism. And then we have the Eucharist. Now, I can't answer the question completely about when someone says they were born again, because that term is we don't always agree on what that might mean when someone says, well, I'm born again, or I had this conversion experience. But I can tell you that the typical way of conversion historically in the church was for you to first come to the church, submit yourself to the teachings of Christ through the church, and then you would come into that saving relationship fully on the Easter Vigil, Saturday before Easter Sunday. But we do recognize that the moment you are enrolled in the catechumenate, you are a member, and the church considers you one of her own at that point. And then you go through this process of going deeper until finally there's the consummation of the relationship on the Easter Vigil.
Roger, I understand that you called us as a Protestant person looking for Jeff Cavins' take on that. But if you'd like, I have a little book that explains some of what and some other things of what Jeff just explained. It's called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. I would be very happy to send you that book or any other book we've got here at Catholic Answers if you talk with Edgar. Just hang on and we'll get it to you. I do want to try to get everybody on the air if I can. We're talking with Jeff Cavins, who has done many, many things. Today we're talking about the Catechism in a Year, the new undertaking from all the folks at Ascension Press, from Jeff, from Father Mike, and for the new catechism, the color-coded catechism with all kinds of helps in it to you to, I guess, process this magnificent but also somewhat intimidating book if you haven't been experienced, if you haven't experienced it before. I'm going to go now to Rob in Rhode Island watching on YouTube. Rob, go ahead with your question for Jeff.
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Jeff, I'm listening to the Bible in the year and the Catechism in the year in the same time, so I'm falling a little behind. I'm trying to get through it all.
Wow.
That's all right.
Wow, you took it all on, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I bought the Bible to go along with it, so, yeah, that's great. My question's a little off topic, though. I was listening to Bishop Barron speaking about Christ's hypostatic union, you know, the two natures that come together in yep. unity, divine person, without mixing, mingling, confusion, in the unity of one person. So mm-hmm. he's talking about that while talking about what Christ knew and when. Like that when he asked where Lazarus was buried or who was it that touched him, when power went out of him, that we take his word for that, you know, that he didn't know. So that made me wonder, how do we balance that with Christ before the incarnation operating outside of time and space where he would already know, or do I have that wrong?
No, it's actually a very good question because, you know, when we talk about the hypostatic union, we're talking about the fact that Jesus was one person, not two people like a Nestorian heresy or some of the other heresies. He's one person, not two, but he has two natures, a human nature and a divine nature, so much so that the Council of Constantinople even determined that he had two wills, a human will and a divine will, and at no point did they ever go out of sync at all. When it comes to understanding, well, what did he know at certain points? Well, we do know that the scriptures tell us that he grew in wisdom and stature from the time that he was a boy. He grew, he was taught by his mother, no doubt. And as far as what he knew at what time, that is something that we don't really know for sure. We can't really say, but we do know that he grew into full stature as a boy would grow up. And then you have to understand also that when he asks the question, like when this is that 3-year period of his ministry, after he started his ministry at the Jordan River in Matthew chapter 3, he says, who touched me? Well, I think he knew who touched him. But you have to understand that Jesus, as a rabbi, uses questions in 12 different ways that rabbis use them to bring out information. Who touched me may be a question that's asked, not because he's ignorant of it, but because he wants the one who touched him to admit it and to face him. Or it could be for the disciples. He might ask a rhetorical question to get a response, to get information, or to trip someone up when they're trying to trip up him. You know, like the baptism of John. Was it of men? Was it of God? He's a master at asking questions. But I don't think that Jesus ever asked a question because he simply didn't know. But growing up, I think he was a regular boy. There's gospels that have been written that are apocryphal, and they have Jesus making doves out of clay and things like that, and that's not part of the Word of God, obviously. But I think if you would have met Jesus as a young boy growing up, you would have been quite impressed. After all, he was 12 years old, he was at the temple, and he was teaching and asking questions, and people were amazed at this kid.
Now, Rob, how does that sit with you?
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, some of it sounds like just, you know, part of the mystery.
Well, certainly, yeah, it is certainly part of the mystery. But I was struck by what you said about him speaking as a rabbi, Jeff. I do think in recent years, the understanding in the Catholic community has deepened about the Jewish roots of who Jesus was, what he did, and why he spoke the way he spoke. That you have to understand his Jewishness, or you're just not going to understand what he's about.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Paul said this too. He said, don't be arrogant. You don't support the root. The root supports you. You come from this background, and this background is rich. And if you want to know Jesus, you have to know his teaching style, that he's a rabbi. He's a Jew. He ate as a Jew, drank as a Jew. He prayed as a Jew and had a Jewish mother. So that's the key.
Rob, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody who called. Sorry if anybody we weren't able to get on, but check it out, the Catechism in a Year. If you haven't done it yet, lots and lots of people have really benefited from the Bible in a Year. Jeff Cavins, it's just a delight to get to spend time with you. Thanks so much for being on with us.
Thank you, Cy. God bless. Thanks for having me.
You too as well. That does it for us. Don't forget, the spring sale ends at midnight at shop.catholic.com, and we'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.